There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, so pretty much looking like yesterday was the proverbial maybe dead cat bounce, as the markets had bounced up a little bit, because today, not so much, as the Dow's down 5.06%, S&P 500 4.51%, NASDAQ 4.35%, Global Dow down 0.97%, and gold off a little bit, 0.99%, oil down some more at 2.56%. So there's really every line across the top of the screen there for trading in commodities and equities is down. More on that from Steve Kassenbaum from Westwood One. He thinks it's coronavirus.
Stock prices fell the moment trading began on Wall Street today. Then when the World Health Organization announced that the COVID-19 coronavirus had reached pandemic proportions, they fell even further, at one point dropping more than 1,200 points, a nearly 5% drop. The S&P 500 and NASDAQ were both down this afternoon, more than 4%.
All right, so there's the there's one angle on it, or can we throw this into the mix as well, that this announcement was made?
Donald Trump must be defeated, and I will do everything in my power to make that happen. On Sunday night, in the first one-on-one debate of this campaign, the American people will have the opportunity to see which candidate is best positioned to accomplish that goal.
So Bernie's staying in. And you know the market does not like Bernie. When Bernie got in trouble, and when Biden had, a big Super Tuesday, and last night had a pretty big little Super Tuesday, the market's like that. And then Bernie Sanders announcing that he's not getting out. He's staying in until the end, which shouldn't surprise anybody. He's done that before, right? I mean, this is not... shouldn't be news. Senator Bernie Sanders, after getting punched up last night a little bit, today saying that he's going to continue on with his presidential campaign. Let's see, this from Fox News says, the decision from the populist senator from Vermont came the day after he was pummeled by the former vice president in Michigan, Missouri, Mississippi, and Idaho, and failed to have a breakout performance in Washington State. As the bad news from the 6th March 10th contest continued to come in on Tuesday night, the self-described Democrat socialist headed home to Burlington, Vermont, and took the unusual step of not giving a primetime primary night speech. He emerged today to discuss his plans, saying last night obviously was not a good night for our campaign from a delegate point of view. Isn't that like the important point of view running? Okay. But looking for the silver lining, he touted his victory in North Dakota and noted he's leading in Washington State vote count, making clear his intentions. He said he plans to see Biden at the next debate on Sunday in Phoenix. So you've got Bernie staying in. I don't know. I mean, the market shouldn't completely panic, because I don't know if the pathway is there, but I don't think the door has been completely closed. There could be some way, but it's do you see Bernie staying as strong as being a Biden Sanders ticket? I don't see that. No, I don't see that either. But I don't know. Maybe that had played into what the markets did. But the big story continues to be, for those, even those of you who say there's nothing to this, it's completely, and once again, I think I'm at a place that a lot of people are keeping my eye on this, not panicking and running around like, you know, the citizens of Tokyo during the Godzilla movies, but I am paying attention. So somewhere in between, I think, where most folks are. But you look at this, And you see story after story that comes out. And the unknown, I think the unknown is what's scaring people on this. Once again, this is not, you know, we're talking about it, it's now called a pandemic. Pandemic doesn't change, when they give it the qualification as a pandemic, it doesn't affect you any differently now that we've given it a new name, right? The same effects are out there, the same risks for people are out there. It just now has this moniker. Which they used pandemic like a month ago and then stopped using it. Now it's back. Talk about epidemic and then go into pandemic. This story from theweek.com said Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, told lawmakers during a House Oversight Committee hearing today that COVID-19, which, by the way, COVID-19, so there's, we don't hear a lot about COVID-18 or 17 or 16 or 15 or 14, 13, but they're there. But this is COVID-19. The disease caused by the novel coronavirus is probably about 10 times more lethal than the seasonal flu. Okay? That's what Dr. Anthony Fauci said. And we looked at that by the numbers the other day. Remember, we're looking at it, and I don't have it in front of me. But it is true to say flu strain A and B killed more than the coronavirus. That is true. But it drops part of that argument. It's factually accurate, but maybe not in the sense true. In other words, there are way more cases of flu A and B. Of course, you're going to have way more deaths. But we're looking at percentages here, and I think you looked at the seasonal flu, and I've seen some different numbers, but we're looking at less than 1% death from A and B flu strain, looking at over 2% from coronavirus. Those are just some of the numbers that have been broken out of this. I mean, that's not to influence elections. That's just the numbers. Now, President Trump has often compared COVID-19 to the flu, which, of course, affects tens of thousands of Americans a year in an effort to calm people down. But Fauci clearly wasn't trying to downplay the seriousness of the virus's spread. Fauci's a member of the White House's Coronavirus Task Force. At the same time, he did clarify that 10 times figure actually brings in new coronavirus fatality rate lower than the official estimates, which hover around 3%. The flu has a mortality rate, okay, here we go, of 0.1%. So when considering the likelihood that there are as many asymptomatic or very mild cases that have gone undiagnosed, Anthony Fauci places the new coronavirus lethality rate at somewhere around 1%. Okay, so 1%. He's amended from 2%. Fatality rate is 1%, but that is, accurately, 10 times more than 0.1%, correct? Well, that's a good deal lower than the current data suggest. Lead to a significant number of fatalities and makes the flu comparisons seem questionable. That was a comment from this person over at theweek.com. So there you go. This is it. Is there a middle ground to this? It seems like there's not. Either you're telling me that this is all made up, there's nothing really to it, or you're panicking and quarantining yourself before anything happens. This is something that is causing some real-world effects, and we've looked at cancellations. We've looked at cancellations around the country. We got cancellations just down the road. St. Patrick's Day parade in New Orleans has been canceled. By the way, St. Patrick's Day parade here, still a go, at least the last update I've gotten. You got anything canceled? Got any plans for if things get canceled going forward because of coronavirus? No cases here in Alabama yet, but unfortunately it's probably just a matter of time. Talk about that and take a look at what they're doing in Montgomery when we get back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 120 FM Talk 106.5. And Midday Mobile, I did not know that. I saw that. Thank you. Neil. Thank you, Neil. What I get for reading something on the fly? He said, it's not 19 different versions. I heard somebody, who said that today? Somebody said that today. 19 different versions, but Neil, who I will take because, Neil, I have no certainty in my statement there. Neil says it's actually the COVID, because I guess there are different COVIDs, but the year it was discovered. So, because it was discovered, what, in 19 in Wuhan. So he said, yeah, they're not 19 COVIDs, 19 from the year it was discovered. That's why it's called COVID-19. Thank you, Neil. Dan, talking about deaths per case. But I think there could only be one death per case, right, Dan? I mean, if you had a case, think about in utero, but one death per case. But it's 0.1% for flu A and B, and they're saying it's 1%, at least Fauci's saying 1% for coronavirus. Still, I mean, if this hits your family or, you know, if it hits your friend, it's significant. It's very significant. I think there is a measured way to look at this. Be aware of coronavirus. Try to figure out what you can do to mitigate. You can't stop it, but what you can do to mitigate it. Be ready for that stuff, but not, you know, run in full panic mode. You know, it's people asking about what things would be canceled, not canceled. Y'all, I'll tell you what I know. Let's talk about what we know, and I know that, as according to the people most important around this, the Friendly Sons of St. Patrick, they're on for the St. Patrick's Day parade. This texter says, when and what time is the parade? I think the parade is usually starts about before lunch. Let's see here. Hold on. Because you got the Friendly Sons get out there earlier. They have the Ryan Park event, and then they go to Mass at the cathedral. Where does it say? Okay, 11. Okay, 11 a.m. Yeah, Friendly Sons of St. Patrick's Day Parade, downtown parade, starts at Cathedral Square at 11. And the parade route, I don't know, maybe if Steve Joyner for the Mobile Mask is listening, he can give it a name. It starts and basically returns to the cathedral. And it's not a full route. It's not like a full Route A, Mardi Gras Route A. It's a shorter route, but I don't know the number or name for it. But if you're near Cathedral Square they're parading on the 17th. They're not doing any of the observe. They're parading on the 17th, and that will start at 11 o'clock. And you can go get that. But yeah, New Orleans was the one that New Orleans canceled their parade. I think they were going to make a decision for Savannah, Georgia. They have a big one. Dalton's talking about Boston's cancellation. I have not heard of others. People ask me, I don't know what others. We'll get a list of. But around here, they're still on for St. Patrick's Parade here in Mobile. And it's not. I mean, we have a great parade for our city, but it's nothing like, you know, it's nothing like Mardi Gras or anything. And of course, yes, we all wonder what would have happened if we'd be at this point right now going into Mardi Gras. Would there have been cancellations of Mardi Gras parades, or would it be, you know, and some of the cancellations we'll see going forward, I bet you, will be not, they're going to be, yes, you could cloak yourself, and I'm not saying I know who will do this and who won't do this, but you can cloak yourself in saying, hey, it's driven by our abundance of caution because of the chance of coronavirus, when in reality, it is driven by coronavirus, but it's people not wanting to go to the thing, right? Whether it's they delay in music, South by Southwest, they changed that music festival, or other, you know, you might say, well, either way, it's coronavirus. People not wanting to come, or you saying, hey, we're going to cancel this to be safe. Either way, it's based on coronavirus and the unknown out there. And listen, this is going to be, it's going to be something that I don't think we're done with in a month's time. You're looking at China, though. They're starting to get back online, so that's been, November it was discovered in Wuhan, so November, December, January, February, they're starting to get back online, so could it be a three-month issue? And now, what are they saying in the headlines, that Europe is the new China on this? Angela Merkel, German Chancellor, warned that up to 70% of the country's population, some 58 million, could contract the coronavirus. Now, if you get the virus, get the virus doesn't mean you're dead. Actually, for some people, it doesn't even mean you're, like, outwardly sick. So take that into account. It's, even if she was correct and 70% of Germans got it, it's not, I mean, still, what we're using, 1% lethality rate on this? All right. All right, thank you, Scotty. Down Dolphin Street to Royal, shoot the short route this year. So it'll go, I guess, it leaves the Cathedral, of course, like, unless something's changed, Scotty, over the years, it leaves Cathedral, and then you say goes down Dolphin Street. So, you know, right turn, Clyde, there on Dolphin Street, goes to Royal, and it will end on Royal at the Battle House, so it won't make the complete loop this year. Thank you, Scotty. I have a toast for you on the 17th. Yeah, so down Dolphin Street to Royal, short route this year, ending on Royal at the Battle House. Thank you, Chester, for that information. Chester is canceling his colonoscopy due to fears of the virus. Smart. All right. I know that it starts at Cathedral Square, ends at the Battle. Okay, so the short route this year again. Thank you. It's been too many years since I've been with y'all, so maybe if I have time and schedule, get back into it. I still have all my accoutrements, still have my name tag and the whole nine yards. So maybe it's time. Maybe that y'all take me back into the group. I don't know if I've been, how long I can be out and still get back into the Friendly Sons, but I'm ready. It's just, it's been hard to march because of this show, this midday show. It's made it very hard to march on St. Pat's Day, but I always did enjoy it. All right. We can shift gears here for a second because I do want to set this up before we go to the news break here and talking about what's happening in Montgomery or what happened yesterday as they gavel back into session. Number one, hard-hitting legislation brought by the House of Representatives adopting daylight saving time year-round. Whoa, that's pretty good, right? The Alabama House of Representatives passed a measure here to adopt daylight saving time year-round. And here's the other shoe, if the federal government does it. You know, what a cop-out thing. So the House, and it hadn't gone to the Senate yet, we hadn't had a vote in the Senate. I guess it goes to the Senate, haven't had a vote over there. But in the House, yes, the headline is Alabama House of Representatives adopts daylight saving time year-round. And then the other part of it, if the feds do it. Now, come on. I'm a big DST advocate, like full-time DST, would like to see that. But passing a law to say Alabama will do it, if the feds will do it, come on, of course we will. Also, that establish a, there's a push there that would let teachers have the right to be members of the legislature. You know, you hear that on first blush, and he's like, well, why wouldn't they be teachers? Why would you keep them from being a member of the legislature? Well, if you remember back in not too distant history, that was being abused here in our state as people were, you know, the whole double dipping thing. So that was going on. They're probably trying to stay away from that. But yet, that's one of the things they're working on. I don't think that passes out of anything. Also, they made it a crime, at least a House bill that was passed out to the Senate, made it a crime to falsify a drug test using synthetic urine. Dalton, did you know that that wasn't a crime before? They did that yesterday in the House to make it a crime to falsify a drug test using synthetic urine. So good, they're on that. And also a particular interest, a bill that would require state inmates who work outside the Alabama Department of Corrections facilities to wear electronic monitoring devices. The bill passed with no opposition, but lawmakers voiced concern over who ADOC allows to be on work release in general during discussion of the bill. House Bill 151 from Representative Matt Simpson, right here at home out of Daphne, would change existing law to say the inmates convicted of violent offenses will be subject to electronic monitoring. Good for you, Matt Simpson. Of course, Matt worked at this from the district attorney's office level. But just as a citizen, how many times have we, seriously, how many times do we have stories where it's way more release than work, at work release? How many times do we have stories about people at work release? Well, we have a convicted murderer that escaped from the actual prison this week, so don't mistake those two. But day in and day out, we're talking about, well, not day in and day, but I would say, but a couple times a month, I think is honest way to say, a couple times a month, we have some story where somebody who is on work release releases themselves. I know that this bill would talk about people that had been charged with a violent crime wearing those ankle monitors, and we don't have the money here to have everybody an ankle monitor, but dang blasted. I mean, am I the only one that notices that we have like news stories like, well, so-and-so escaped from work release, never came back. So-and-so walked away from work release, never came back. Seems to be too common of a thing. All right. Yes, thank you. Lisa said, if I could get a really good deal on a cruise right now, I would pack my bags. You only live once. You could, Lisa. That's what I'm waiting for Clark Howard this weekend. When Clark Howard goes, I, if he has not done it yet, please tell me there's a recording of Clark out there saying, wow, this is a great time to find deals on cruises. Believe me, I'm tempted, Lisa. I'm tempted. Yeah, Gamecock girl, I don't know. There's not a law saying that it's illegal to falsify urine test any way that it's falsified. Yeah, I don't. Thank you, Gamecock. Why don't we have one law that says whether you use synthetic urine or your cousins, it's against law. I'm with you. All right, coming right back. Phone number, text line, 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Heading to the phones in just a second at 343-0106 and check in with my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry first, because as I'm looking at commodities and looking at the market these days, the shining, pun intended, the shining sector has been precious metals and gold. Hey, Angelo.
Hey, how's it going, Sean?
Good. So let's talk about gold. Let's talk about people coming to gold, and then talk a little silver with me, too. So walk folks through what's happening.
So right now, gold and silver, of course, have been bouncing all over the board. Gold is hovering just under $1,700 an ounce, and silver is hovering right around, gold's around $1,700, silver's around $1,700. The interesting thing to note is that's a 100-to-1 ratio, or very close to that right now. The last time we had a ratio that extreme was during World War II.
What?
Well, think about this. This is something, wow, we need some history for the radio show, history and studying and math, and I know you don't like math, but you like history.
I do.
During World War II, the United States government and governments around the world had fixed the price of gold. Gold was $35 an ounce, period. It didn't go up or down. That was the price. So everything else as it relates to gold fell away and were depressed, which actually has the effect of raising the price of gold as it compares to other things. And the last time we've had a ratio as extreme as it is now was during a global war. Just
really?
I'll just throw that one out there. It makes you really wonder and want to go,
Okay. Now, you have told us this, though, looking at the ratio between gold and silver, there's something to pay attention to, right?
There really is, and right now I've been selling a lot of silver, and I've been encouraging people to buy a lot of silver, because right now you can get 100 ounces of silver for the same price as it would cost you for about an ounce of gold. So you might as well make the more inexpensive buy. At the same time, when those numbers catch up, I'm personally expecting silver to really shoot up and sort of bridge the gap in that disparity right now. You know, and on that note, you don't have to buy a boring 1 ounce piece or a 10 ounce piece. Right. We have some really cool stuff here at the shop as these things.
Right. That's, I mean, because people think precious metal, we picture, you know, the ingots or whatever, something boring. But y'all make it like you could be investing and collecting at exactly the same time.
Exactly. There's a really cool set that I personally love. It's the Route 66 set. So in those iconic road sign designs, you have an ounce of pure silver, one for every state that's on Route 66. We have the seventh one of those just got into stock yesterday, and one more in that set, and you'll have all eight of the states on Route 66, and you're only paying a little bit over silver price for our money. How cool of a set is that?
It's very strong. All right, give people directions to come see you.
Yeah, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street, and if you don't want to get out of the house right now with all the excitement going on, go online, check out mobilebaycoins.com, or check us out on Facebook or on Instagram.
Hey, thanks, Angelo.
Have a good one, Sean.
You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Hey, you know, it's funny, got that text earlier from Lisa. Hey, Lisa, I had this conversation last night at the house because we're reading some article about people booking cruises for getting really good rates. And then I got another story, NBC has popped up here too, about, here's the headline. Young people capitalize on cheap coronavirus flights. If I die, I die. Listen, first of all, if I was a youngster, I'd probably have done that. And number two, did I go shop some ticket prices to the Pacific Northwest for on into the summertime yesterday? Yes, I did. Did I find a deal? Yes, I did. All right. To the phones at 343-0106. And Ken is in Baldwin County. Hey, Ken.
Hey, Sean.
What's going on?
I just got a question for you guys. I work for a drilling company. We drill water wells throughout Mobile, Baldwin, Washington counties. And we drilled a well not too long ago at 150-foot, 160-foot below the surface of the ground. We had a large wood source of wood. Typically, you don't see this much wood come up during the drilling process.
150 feet down?
Oh, yeah. That's not very deep at all.
To hit wood, I mean, I imagine the amount of tops.
Yeah, this much fiber to come up to the surface. Typically, you see small pieces come up, but not as much as we found. It's quite unusual.
What county were you in?
Baldwin.
And so you're drilling, and you're drilling this, all of a sudden, I mean, it's dirt, and then all of a sudden wood comes up at 150?
Well, yes, it's close up to the surface, correct. Then the drilling process.
150 feet down, are you... That's fascinating. I have no idea.
It is. It's most we found. I'm thinking the way the looks of it is some type of pine, because the fibers are long. You know, hardwood is a short fiber, and a long softwood is a long fiber.
Yeah. I don't know. This is like Legend of Oak Island kind of stuff.
I don't know about that.
No, but 100. I mean, this is significant. 150. I mean, I'm sure there's probably somebody out there goes, oh, well, that's the reason is this, but I don't know right now. Is there a... I've got no idea.
That was my question. Where to take it? Okay. I thought about South Alabama or something like that.
Can we do this? If I put you on hold, can you give contact info to Dalton? And I've got folks that we'll put you in contact with.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, let's do that. Thank you, because I have no answer for you. I'm fascinated, though. You got to do this. If it turns out to be this extraordinary find, please come back and talk to me on the radio show about it.
Thank you, man.
That's I don't know. Maybe we'll have somebody has an idea. 150 feet down. Should I bring this up at all? I brought this up with a friend the other day. It's one of my closely held secrets. I don't know if this is a place to tell y'all something this closely held, because I have no explanation for it. Okay, well, I have the explanations that were taught to me by my grandfather. They are not scientifically sound, so I have no idea. I'm not going to. You could argue with me, and I'll say, yeah, you're probably right, because I don't know. But he was talking about drilling wells, so. Been a long time since I've done it. I'm not going to... Do I talk about this, Dalton? Because you know, it's weird. You ever heard of... where we come from, my grandfather called it divining for a well. Have you ever seen somebody use a... I know some people use metal. Have you ever seen somebody use a part of a willow tree or a peach or a cherry, but down here it's mostly been willows, to find where water is under the ground? Have you ever seen that? I have no explanation... to it. No, my buddy was looking at, well, you know what, we're talking about at the boat show, and my buddy was looking at me. I said, listen, I have no explanation. I've been able to do it since I was a little kid. My grandfather kind of pulled me out of the herd and said, you got this ability here, let's teach you how to do it. It is the craziest thing. I mean, maybe we get somebody in the community. I don't know if anybody around here does it. Mama's side of the family, we come from, no big surprise, right? Mountain folks, Appalachian mountain folks. Should be no big surprise. And that's a thing. It's a thing my grandfather used to do. I don't know. Just thinking, hearing Ken talk about wells, might be time to break out a divining stick. Maybe time to go cut me a nice green Y branch here off a new shoot and go out and find us a well, huh? Although the way it's been raining this year, I just find water everywhere. All right, we got to get Ken's information. I'm interested in that. Maybe we get a discussion of finding water with a stick, too, coming up. All right, be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Big thank you. I got friends that know what I want to see sent to me in a text. No, not that. I'm getting video here of the, they're doing a controlled burn. I guess they were doing it here. But does this look like it was ongoing? I couldn't see smoke, but you could tell like it was recent, a controlled burn out of the Botanical Gardens at Municipal Park. I love it. That's one of the areas I do like by walking, going through. It'll be easy walking today, a little bit of black soot on your feet. But yeah, they do that control burn to keep the longleaf forest there at Mobile Municipal Park in line. Good for them. I share some burning pictures on my Instagram feed. I don't know, maybe I put some, I put some on Twitter too. They're over there, but they, Mobile Botanical Gardens in their longleaf forest there does that burn. It's a cool thing to check out now if you want to ride through there and see what some fire does to the landscape in there. And it's cool we're doing it inside the city limits. Good for them. Some fire line. The one fire line, very easy because of the paved road there. And, of course, and on the other side, if it would jump, you'd have the lake there. But you got houses on that south side, I'd be a little worried about. But it's cool. Good for them. And thank you for sending me video of that. Now, okay, thank you, Mike. And so I'm looking at a lot of messages here on this. I'm just telling y'all because I think it's I'm like torn on this because I can do it or used to be able to do it when I was young, but I can't explain anything. And if I wouldn't be, I wouldn't believe it for a second. I still don't believe it, and I can do it. About divining or dowsing. People are saying, what is he dowsing? Water witching, right? It's like... like, there's no reason that I understand that makes any sense to how this works. But I've been successful at it for over the years, and I don't know why. I don't know why. Like I said, I'm not here as an advocate. I'm just somebody. This came up the other day at the boat show for some reason. But Mike says, I work with the cable company, and if we have trouble locating a line with our high-tech equipment, we always bend a couple locating flags, walk that area out, and tend to find our cable, plus any other underground utility in the area. Only problem is you don't know what it is until it's unsurfaced. And that's true. Places I was around, there weren't. We always were looking for water. But, of course, how deep down is it? Those kind of questions. My grandfather, you should be able, at least he would tell me when I was a boy. He'd say, that's deep, or that's right up by the surface. And the way he'd walk and back off of it and have the divining stick go down and come back up. It's like a whole weird thing. Like I said, it's this one part of the world that I have like no explanation for, but I'm involved in. Never been able to explain it. So Mike, but you are like, you're using metal. I know people use metal out there. I've never done that with the different kinds of metal. I've always done it with a cut stick, and it was willow or peach or cherry or something like that. So I don't, but I've seen people do it with the metal. I just haven't. That's pretty cool. So you're using it on the job site. I don't know how we got started on that, but it's a thing. All right. Want to go back to something we talked about this morning because I want to update you on the numbers here from our 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question today. Should paid sick leave be a right? Remember the discussion in Washington, Democrats have been pushing for part of the coronavirus response to have guaranteed paid sick leave. I mean, then AL.com in their editorial section got all on board on this, that paid sick leave should be a right. We asked that question. Right now, 77% of y'all say no, 23% say yes. You could make one argument for the, in a pragmatic sense, right, that paid sick leave keeps the spread of a virus like coronavirus or something from moving so quickly across the landscape because people stay quarantined instead of going to work when they're sick. All right, but the question, who pays for that? Is that a guarantee? Number one, is your job guaranteed? People say, that's my job. Nah, it's actually the business owner's job. You get to work it, okay? So there's number one. Number two, the guarantee of having the sick, it's, now, do you offer it? I think it's great. I would move towards a company that had paid sick leave or somewhere I knew that I would get a break here of being sick. If you came down, I think we would say that here. If somebody tested positive for coronavirus here, we'd say, just stay on at the house. You can telecommute. And we do have the ability to do that. But the argument being made is, those people in jobs where they are present with the public, whether it be in food service or driving vehicles or greeters or anything like that, if they, you know, they've got to go to work, they don't get paid, they don't have sick leave, then they continue to spread, in this case, they're talking about coronavirus, but they're, the Democrats in Washington are pushing this for a overall guarantee, a guarantee of sick leave. So, I mean, I guess if we can guarantee that the plan is to guarantee health insurance, then guaranteed sick leave pay is not far behind. Then the question is, well, who pays for it? Who paid for it? Yeah, like Jared said on the text line, the job isn't a right, much less paid sick leave. Now, it's a nice thing. It's a great thing. If a business can offer it as an incentive, it's a good thing. It's a positive thing. But here they are over at Aon.com, and they're just working off of what came out of Washington, pushing this. They say many Americans don't get paid sick leave as part of their jobs. That is a public health concern normally, and in a crisis like with coronavirus, it could be a make-or-break factor in whether or not we contain the spread. You got to act now. You got to change. You got to undo a major tenet of our system because of coronavirus. I mean, can we see the politics in this? You could smell the politics in this a distance off. Now, is the idea if the private sector wants to do this? I think that's a good thing. I think it's a smart thing to give people paid sick leave if they have tested positive for coronavirus. But if you start to mandate this and legislate this, what does that mean? What does that mean for the companies? I mean, first of all, who pays for it? Second of all, if it is the companies, how are they going to do this? And how badly will this be abused? And how far is he? What is it? Oh, there's the there it is from the very left, Liz Ryan. The tweet here said, "Coronavirus is teaching us that healthcare is a right, paid sick time is a right. Many, many people could do their jobs from home. We are more dependent on a healthy society than we want to acknowledge." So we're going to make it a choice you got to make for a healthy society to go ahead and guarantee paid sick leave. What's wrong with you?
Oh.
Are you feeling feverish?
I'm just, I need about 365 days of, no, I came in for an update on a couple businesses and their paid sick leave. And Uber, you know, we've got all these ride sharing and delivery. So Uber, I got an email earlier. I guess they send out to anyone who's used Uber and provided their email address where they tackle what they're doing about the coronavirus.
Oh, I guess I'll get that too, yeah.
And how they're handling their
what are workers. They doing?
Well, they said that any workers, and I don't know the testing ramifications, whether the workers have to get tested and be found positive for COVID-19, but that they're offering financial assistance for up to 14 days, which is that self-quarantine mm-hmm. time, that they're offering financial assistance for Uber workers for up to the 14 days. And then another story I saw, a Waffle House, I think in Atlanta or around Atlanta, one of the Waffle House workers there did test positive for coronavirus.
Now, this has gotten serious now.
Now you know it's really hit the fan. And they said that 12 of the workers there, I guess, are self-quarantining now. And from what I read, from what I remember, that Waffle House is providing paid leave for those workers as they're out. So just a couple updates on...
Those are good. And you know what? If private business wants to do these things and do it, I encourage it. I celebrate it. I mean, it might help spread the... But this is being used out of Washington, and here comes the editorial, the tilt or whatever it is from AL.com, and they're already on board saying, yeah, it's time to do this. They're using... Never let a crisis go mm-hmm. to waste,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, just reach a little bit further.
Like, and this is a weird... In this binary world we exist in now, like, if you say you don't believe... there should be mandated paid sick leave, then you're a heartless jerk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There's no nuance for going, hey, I don't believe it needs to be mandated by the feds and all that, but if a private business wants to do it, good for them. Celebrate that business. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. Good for them. If they can do it, good for them.
I'm interested how hotels are tackling this and the staff at hotels, where the ramifications, you could argue, are even higher for the business than a lot of restaurants and other places like that. With the hotels, if you have someone that is coming to work because they don't want to miss any time
mm-hmm.
and they have coronavirus, then...
Oh, infection city.
Yeah. If the hotel goes down, then there goes your business.
Wow. All right, we'll solve just a few more of the world's problems on tomorrow's show. Be back at 6 for Mobile Mornings right here at FM Talk 106.5. Online at FMTalk1065.com. We got the Facebook. The TikTok. No TikTok. Instagram. Mm-hmm.
We have that.
And the Twitters.
Yeah, and podcasts everywhere.
All right, check it out. Over 40 hours plus a week of live local programming. Waiting for you in podcast form. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next.